The reading is from Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 10 to 18, and it can be found on page 685. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the Lord of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my corpse. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They've become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is the word of the Lord.
I didn't need it anyway. Our second reading is Luke chapter 19, page 1053. Bless you, thank you. Verses 1 to 10. Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, page 1053. This is a lovely story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Lovely account. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Spirit, come now upon David and help him to faithfully declare all that is in these passages for us to understand at this time. May he be faithful to you. Give him clarity of expression and guide him, we pray. And Holy Spirit, show us the heart of the Father as David speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
If I haven't met you, my name's David Beals. I live on Chesterwell Estate in Colchester. If you don't know that, it was once a rose garden, and all the streets are named after the names of roses. Do you like Quality Street?
Yes.
Now, when you get Quality Street, do you pick out the particular one you like, or do you just put your hand in and it's sort of potluck? Today, I'm going to throw out 11 quality saints. Not Quality Street, quality saints. And I'll tell you the reason why I'm doing this. We'll start with Zacchaeus. The reason is that last weekend, three things happened. On Saturday, I went to a memorial service of an old school and university friend called Nick. And Nick, whose brother was leading the service, his brother is a priest, Nick used to say, "Look, don't paint me as a saint. I'm not a saint." However, I do know that when Nick was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and given only a few months to live, one of the first things he did was call his brother Andrew to come and do Holy Communion with him. And although Nick said, "Look, I've got a very shaky faith, up and down, up and down," the fact that he asked Andrew to come and do communion with him convinced me that he had at least a mustard seed of faith, which actually made him a saint. Then the second thing that happened was that my friend David Lankshear at Christ Church last Saturday evening did a talk on Tychicus. Have you heard of Tychicus? In Colossians and Ephesians, he's mentioned by Paul. I think he's mentioned in Acts as well. He was the bloke who carried the letter from Rome, where Paul was in prison, to Ephesus, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And David explained how this was a journey of 1,600 miles, and he might have walked, he might have taken boats, whatever. But it was a considerable journey, and he really is an underrated hero, Tychicus. Then the third thing that happened last weekend was I listened to a podcast on BBC Sounds called Tailenders. Have any of you ever heard Tailenders? Yeah, it's a comic take on the world of cricket. And in this particular Tailenders, James Anderson, now Sir James Anderson, England's greatest ever bowler, chose what he called his underrated Ashes 11. In other words, a team of people who no one else had picked to be his underrated best team. So today, I'm going to throw out, I'm not going to talk for more than 20 minutes. So if it gets to after 10 past 12, I'm going to stop even if I haven't reached 11. Don't worry, okay? Don't worry. I'm going to throw out these quality saints and ask you to choose one. There's no way you can remember them all. I can't even remember them. That's why I've got them listed in my book here. So just remember one who might be challenging you, asking you a question, encouraging you, affirming your faith, whatever it is. To open the batting today, we have Zacchaeus. A miserable, grotty, little crook. He's my first saint. Now, why is that? Because he repented. He longed to see Jesus. All these characters I'm speaking of are all written in Luke's gospel. I just kept myself to Luke's story of Jesus. Zacchaeus was very unpopular. It would be a little bit like if I were to say my first saint is Prince Andrew. Sorry, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. I got his name wrong, didn't I? All right? Because anyone who has repented of what they've done wrong, turned around and chosen to go the way of Jesus and be the friend of Jesus, becomes a saint. To me, that's great news. I look down in my own soul and see the darkness that there is, but I know I'm forgiven and set free and on a journey, old geezer that I am, towards heaven. Zacchaeus is my opening batsman. I'm going to choose five men and five women in this team. So to open the batting with him is Joanna, the wife of Chuser. Now, let's be honest, who's heard of Joanna, the wife of Chuser? No, okay. You'll find her mentioned twice in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and chapter 24. She was one of the group of women who went around with Jesus and his followers and provided for all their needs. Now, Joanna was married to Chuser, who Luke says was Herod's steward or Herod's manager. Herod, remember, chopped off the head of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Herod, remember, kind of went into cahoots with Pilate at the time that Jesus was crucified. Herod, although he was fascinated by who Jesus might be, because he'd heard stories about him, was certainly not a friend to Jesus. Chuser was Herod's manager, managed all his affairs in the palace. Joanna was married to Chuser, so isn't she immediately in a compromised situation? It strikes me that Joanna is a vitally important saint for today's world as we know it. Because in this society, say you're a teacher, or you work in the NHS, or you work in a local council, and you believe that to follow the commands of Jesus are more important than following the commands of your employer, you might get sacked. You might get exposed and sacked. Joanna was among the women who were last at the cross and first at the tomb. She's a model of faithfulness, and she asked the question, how's your faithfulness to Jesus in a compromised society? Going in number three is the blind man of Jericho. We have chapters in the Bibles. We heard from chapter 19 today. Just before that, it would have been like in a seamless text, is the end of chapter 18, where a blind man, as Jesus approaches Jericho, cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people say, "Look, be quiet, will you? Be quiet. Settle down. There's got an important person in town. We don't want you disturbing things." So he cries out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And eventually Jesus goes to him and said, what do you want? He says, "Well, I'd really like to see." So Jesus heals him and he's able to see. It's a wonderful miracle. Now, to me, that blind man of Jericho is a great illustration of importunate, persistent prayer. Jesus told a parable at the beginning of chapter 18 about a widow who had some sort of legal problem, we don't know what it was, and went to the judge for justice in her case. The judge was a bit of a he was a twit, basically. He didn't take care. He wasn't concerned with God or with anybody else. He just wanted to go to the races or something. And eventually, she wore him down by continually going and going and going again and being very importunate. Edge of rude, but assertive and loud. Just like this blind man of Jericho. Jesus, in the parable about that widow, said, look, if God's not like that judge, if that judge listens to the widow, how much more is God going to listen to you if you bring your prayers in a persistent and importunate manner? So my question from this particular man, the blind man of Jericho, is how is the importunate and persistent character of your prayers? Next, I'm going to choose Peter's mother-in-law. Not a big name in the whole Bible. In fact, she's only mentioned in one verse. But she had a fever after Jesus has had a busy day. They went round to the home of Peter's mother-in-law. And she was in bed with a fever. Jesus rebuked the fever. I thought that was quite interesting. It's not a gentle, oh, I hope you'll be well. May the Lord bless you. It's, no, fever, get out of there. The fever left her, and immediately, says Luke, she got up and made dinner for all the people who were there. So what struck me about Peter's mother-in-law, why she's chosen in this team of saints, is that she's immediate. The immediacy of her serving heart. I confess that I'm a procrastinator. You know, I'll put off tomorrow what I could do today. But I'm struck by how immediately she went to serve. Then the next person in the team of saints is the thankful leper. Chapter 17, Jesus was confronted with 10 lepers. Must have been between two towns because lepers were not allowed to inhabit the local communities. They had to be outside the towns in their own colonies. These lepers wanted to be healed. So Jesus said, right, you've got your healing. Go, show yourselves to the priests, get your certificate of cleansing, and you'll be healed. And Luke says, on the way, they discovered that their skins were cleansed. So they were clean. One of them, remember there were 10, came back and thanked Jesus. He turned back, praising God with a loud voice, prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. The other 9 probably had some pretty good excuses. Yeah, I've often got good excuses, you know. Oh, well, he said we should go and get our certificate of cleansing, first of all. So we got that, and then we turned round. We thought we might send a thank you card, or we might go back and thank you. But when we went back, well, he was gone. Good excuses, no doubt. But Jesus commended that Samaritan leper, who otherwise normally wouldn't associate with Jewish people like Jesus at all. So he asks me, how's your attitude of gratitude? Next in the team is Mary of Bethany. Yep, we're going all right. Mary of Bethany sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. Now you'll know Mary, she had a sister called Martha. She's mentioned in Luke chapter 10 in a small little story. And again, she's mentioned in John chapter 11 and 12. Now, the thing about Martha was that she worked hard in the kitchen to make dinner while Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha complained, look, Mary's just with you and I'm slaving away in the kitchen. Why can't she come and help me? And Jesus responded in a curious way. And to be honest, many of us are offended by what he says here. Because he said, Mary's chosen the best way. Now, I might have chosen Martha, you know, except I've already chosen Peter's mother-in-law who did the serving. So you can choose Martha if you think she's a saint too. That's great. But I've chosen Mary because she asks me, how is your desire to sit at Jesus' feet? This is my desire, to honour you. How is your desire? Am I distracted by many, many things? Things I've got to do, the TV programmes I've got to watch, the internet stories I've got to read about? No, how's my desire to sit at Jesus' feet? Next in the batting order is Legion. Legion, otherwise known as mob, so called because he had so many demons in him, multiple sorts of personalities. Obviously a very sick man with considerable mental health problems. He lived out among the tombs. He wouldn't go near anybody because people were frightened of him. He would cut himself. He was in a terrible state. When Jesus came, the demons, as it were, within him, cried out, oh, what do you have to do with us? And they didn't want to get sent to the place of darkness and death. In the end, Jesus said, okay, you can go out into the pigs, and the herd of pigs dashed over the cliff into the sea and drowned. Legion himself, as he was known, he was set free of all that, so he could carry on a normal life after that. He wanted to go with Jesus and his disciples across the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the lake. But Jesus said to him, no, return home and declare how much God has done for you. So he asks me, how's your openness to tell what God has done for you? Are you doing what Jesus encouraged that man to do? Thank you for the stories we heard today. Getting near the end of the order now, the lady who was bleeding for 12 years was following Jesus along and was so desperate to get well, she'd spent money on all the doctors, that she reached out and thought, if I could just touch the edge of his clothing, the hem of his garment, then I can be healed. So she did it while the crowd was gathering all around Jesus on his journey towards Jairus' house. She reached out and touched him instantly. Jesus knew that power had come out of him, and instantly she knew that she had been healed. Jesus said, who touched me? And the people were crazy. They said, well, don't be silly. There's lots of people crowding around you. They're all touching you. And you say, who touched me? He said, no, I felt power go out of me. And the lady, shy as she was, not wanting herself to be put on a pedestal in front of other people, she said, yes, it was me. And Jesus very kindly and lovingly looked at her and said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Do you hear that? Not her good deeds or anything like that, her faith. She had a desperate and daring kind of faith in Jesus, even in her ill health. How's the desperation and daring quality of your faith? Or put it communally, I don't know if you know, but the Church of England as an institution occasionally has a few arguments and is actually at the moment in quite a state of ill health and people not really getting on very well with one another. It's not to say anything about any particular parish. It's just the institution. But I want to say to the whole Church of England and to us as individuals and individual parishes, how's the desperation and daring quality of your church? Getting near the end of the group now, the centurion, the Roman centurion, had a slave who was not very well. He was a kind centurion, this bloke. He'd raised money for the local synagogue and all sorts of things like that. And he sent elders, Jewish elders, to Jesus to say, "My servant is not well. Can you heal him?" So Jesus said, "Yeah, let's go see this person." But on the way, he sent somebody else to say, "Tell Jesus not to come to the house. I don't need him to come there. I know what kind of authority he has. I'm a man with authority. If I give an order, people do it." So he only has to say the word and the servant will be well. Jesus said, "I've not seen faith like this in all Israel." And from that moment, the servant was healed. He recognized the authority of Jesus and believed in it. Jesus said, a little bit later from that story, but before the story we read today, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be cast in the sea,' and it will go." So the question the Roman centurion raises for me is, how sharp is the mustard seed quality of your faith? There was once a time in the temple where Jesus saw a poor widow put two small copper coins into the collection plate. Meantime, other people were coming along who were quite wealthy, putting loads of money in. Jesus said, "You see that poor widow over there? She's the most generous of the lot. She's put in more than anybody else because out of her poverty, she made sacrifices and put some money there in the collection plate, whereas everybody else had plenty and enough to spare. She asked me, 'How's your generosity? What kind of appropriate sacrifice can you make?' Jesus himself had said, 'Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, running over, overflowing.'" So that's five men, five women. Who's going to make up the 11th member of our team? Well, I'm going to keep things equal. So my final saint is Saint Rooster. The rooster who crowed just at the break of dawn and thereby convicted Peter of denying Jesus three times on the morning of Jesus' crucifixion. Now that rooster did what came naturally, crowed at the crack of dawn. So the rooster is an example to us of doing what comes naturally, but living in a naturally supernatural way. Back in the 70s, they used to live down the road on that estate that was built in the 70s, a fellow called Dave Bryant, who wrote a song called Naturally Supernatural. Supernatural, living naturally. It kind of went like that. It wasn't a great song. But the idea was that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, do what comes natural. Live naturally, and people will recognize the supernatural character of God's Spirit within you. I think that's what's happening in your care home, Tim. Do what comes naturally. So there they are, tossed out 11 quality saints, underrated quality saints. Choose one. I'm just going to leave a few seconds. Choose one to remember. And don't forget that you're going to be meeting all these people in heaven when the time comes. So make sure that your sins are forgiven. Make sure that you're in touch with Jesus day by day and have a word to say to all these various different characters. Thank you for having me to speak today.
What I hear in all that is they all had one thing in common. They all brought what they had.